You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark 10:46. They came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, do hesed for me. Jesus. Praise God. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. See, they didn't get it either. They had lost the teaching on chesed. You know why? Because all they were hearing was the law. Chesed is in the blessing. David was big on it. But that's the reason he was a man after God's own heart. God's big on it. But they taught the law, and so people just didn't, you don't hear it preached, then you don't. They obviously knew it. But it didn't register on them like it did Bartimaeus. Now notice this again. Jesus, you son of David, he cried out, have mercy on me. And many charged him he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. You son of David, do hesed for me. And Jesus stood still, of course he did, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he's calling you. Now this is a key right here. He obviously had a prime spot. A lot of people. Now, a blind person that needed to beg had to be checked out by the priests in order to be allowed to do that, particularly in a place like that. The man at the beautiful gate, he's right there at the temple where everybody came in. He had to prove to those priests that he actually could not walk. They would check with family. They would check with everyone, check him out. I mean, watch him night and day. And if they ever catch him standing up, whoa, I mean, he is in big trouble. So, and here was his act of faith. Now, I want you to notice this. Let's look at it again. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Can't you just see him? I'm not going to need this anymore. And he's sharp enough to walk towards Jesus' voice. And it's obvious he was just right there by him. And in my mind, when he started towards him, he dropped that jacket. I see Jesus just walking right over there to him. As he dropped that jacket, that was an act of faith, and Jesus knew it. So I want you to watch what happened here. Thank you, Jesus. But now he needed to say it. What will you have me to do? Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Now, he could have come up there and dropped that all out, and he could have said, Lord, I tell you, I've got the worst back pain I've ever had in all my life. Well, that didn't even make sense. But he needed to say it. He needed to verbalize it. And he didn't go into a whole lot of stuff. He didn't stop and tell him he was born blind or got his eyes put out. He didn't go into all that. No, all of this is part of it. His words were very important. His words of faith and recognition stopped Jesus. He dropped that code. That was the act of faith. Now watch this. The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. His faith did it. His faith made him whole. And his corresponding action to his desire was when he dumped that garment. And he followed him in the way. That means he was a follower of the Son of David. That put him in a very, very special place. Praise God. Can you see it? Son of David, do hesed for me. Praise God. We have biblical reason and right to use that. Praise God. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, of course, we've talked about her a lot, and her corresponding action. Mark chapter 5. And there's some things here that are extremely important. And there's something else I want to get into there, but this is a day in the life of Jesus, a complete day here. When Jesus passed over again by ship under the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh under the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, you have to realize he's a ruler of the synagogue. He could really get into a situation. But it's that same synagogue in Capernaum that Cornelius built. Go widescreen. and look it up. Make notes in your Bible about all this. Because it'll help your faith and build strength in you on the inside when you have that information. So, and she shall live. What did he say? He besought him greatly, saying, he fell at his feet. He's right there at the seashore. I expect he got wet and muddy. He just dumped himself right at his feet. Now listen to this. My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. What a statement of faith. Jesus went with him. He didn't say, well, you're going to have to repent of some things. No, people made that up. You're going to have to keep this a while longer because God's trying to teach you something. That is not in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It isn't in there. So don't put it in there. That's what I was talking about earlier. It's not in the handbook. None of the apostles did it. That didn't happen. So, now, there may be situations like that, but get healed first and then let the Lord correct you. And tell him that. I humble myself before you. I mess things up. I stumble around things. And if I have something in my life that's in the way, let's get it out right now. Glory to God. I mean, anybody I need to forgive, let's get over this. Let's get this done. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, I know what they're doing to you now. And they've probably forgotten all about it, not even thinking about you, and you're still hanging on to that trash. So now, I want you to watch this with here. This is very important. And we're watching Jairus. Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She believed it. Corresponding action, she got out there where he was. She'd been shut up for 12 years, not allowed out with an issue of blood. She must have forgiven all of those physicians. She heard of Jesus. Well, she heard what he preaches. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me, and so forth. People were, they were preaching to her what he preached, and faith came. Now, and straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that dunamis, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him that. That's the reason we know it was 12 years. That's the reason she had been a woman of means, and she spent all that she had. So how long do you think that took? Jairus is standing right there, and he said, my little daughter is at the point of death. I wanted you to see Jairus' faith. He already said it, and he kept his mouth shut. He kept his mouth shut about it. His disciples said, see the multitude thronging, and then sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, don't you know daughter rung in Jairus' ears? Daughter, oh, yeah, I like this. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, you notice he didn't say anything about sin. There are those he would say, go and sin no more. That wasn't a case here. Not a case with Jairus. And you need to watch for that. The man that broke up the roof, what did he say? Your sins be forgiven you. So it was important for him to hear that his sins were forgiven. So I'm hearing Jesus say, that's what got you in trouble. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, you can receive your healing now. That's always watch for that. Now, I want to talk about the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman. Jesus said he didn't say that to her. He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, that's right. You've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. You just jump to the conclusion. Do you know the rabbis don't do that? That could have been her dad. It could have been her brother. You just assume, because she had a background here, you just assume she's shacking up with somebody. It didn't say that. So don't accuse her. Always think the best. Don't assume she's living in sin. You don't know why those other five husbands left. Jesus didn't accuse her. He just told her, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And while he yet spoke, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble you, the master, any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, so he stepped in. So Jairus, even if he's tempted to say something, Jesus got in the way and took care of him because he'd already made his statement of faith. He could have said, oh, well, they tried to get him to, well, are you going to trouble him? He'd already said his faith, and Jesus is going with him. Now, notice again what happened here. He said, be not afraid, only believe. In Luke 8:50, he literally said, stop the fear. So how did he deal with death? Stop the fear. Stop it. Gloria and I had come in from Tulsa and walked into my mother's kitchen. And, you know, we had driven from Tulsa, and I was tired and really needed to clean up. And we walked in there, and I said, Mother, I'm hungry. Would you scramble me some eggs or something where I could eat a bite? And Gloria didn't want anything. So Mother said, yeah, just sit down there. And so my plan was to sit down there and visit with her a while. And just, you know. And the phone rang. And I could see she's in a hurry. She said, Kenneth, now, my grandmother had two sisters. One of them was Eily Riggins. She said, Eily's about to die, and we don't have to worry. We got to get to the hospital right now. I said, Mother, I'm going to go back and change the shirt. And I have to know what to do. And I'm saying this to you because when things like this happen, you'll have some instruction about you. I went back there, opened my travel bag, and got a clean shirt and came back in there. And while I was back there, I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard the Lord say, don't ever let the devil see you sweat. So I walked back in there, and I sat down. I said, I'm going to finish my egg. Kenneth, will you hurry up? Those eggs taste like leather. But I took my time. I'm listening. I said, now, Mother, you drive, and don't get in a hurry. Well, I heard it on the inside of me. What to do? We walked in there. They had moved her into another room. And the doctor was going to come back by and sign the death certificate. Her daughter, Lois, was at the end of the bed on the phone planning her homegoing service. So I said, Lois, put the phone down. I said, Lois, just put the phone down. Well, okay, Kenneth. So she put the phone down. Well, I didn't. And there was another family in there waiting on the same thing. So I just walked over there to her bed. And she was always thin. Anyway, And I did what the Lord told me to do. I went over there and I just touched her right there. And I said, "Aunt Eily, open your eyes." She said, "Kenneth, what are you doing here?" I said, "I came here to pray for you." "Oh," she said, "I'm so glad." So, don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Now, if it's an emergency, that's when you better have something in you that comes out right. First words count. Well, anyway, she lived two more years in her own house by herself. Now, I'm telling you all of this because we're building a case here. Mother walked in there and she was sitting in the front room in her favorite easy chair, just sitting there. The mother walked in there and she said, "Ali, you think it's about time to go?" "Oh, yeah." She said, "He's been right there waiting on me. I told him he'd just have to wait a little while. I'll sit here and praise God." So mother said, why don't I just take you back here and tuck you in your bed?" "Oh," she said, "Vanetta, I think that's just wonderful." So she took her in there. She tucked her in and fixed her pillow. She said, "Ali, just lay your head back and let it go." That dear woman laid her head back in Mokratestolokostana. God baptized her in the Holy Ghost. I mean, she went out praying in tongues. Glory to God. What a beautiful 2 years. That's available to any spirit-filled believer that will inquire of the Lord.
Brother Copeland, this is Christina. She's from St. Louis, and hi, she Christina. Had long COVID for over 18 months.
Yeah, so I was in the hospital. I had COVID, Omicron, and I was in ICU for over a month. And the whole time I was praying in the Spirit, "Greater is He that is in me than he is in the world."
Yes, amen.
And they told me when I came to finally that we didn't expect you to live. Those were nurses and doctors, and I'm like, well, here I am, you know. Well, took me a month, maybe 2 weeks, month, 2 weeks, to be able to even get up and walk around without oxygen. They were going to send me home with oxygen. I said, "I'm not going home with oxygen. I'm going to walk out of here." They were like, "Okay." Well, I did, and I kept saying the same thing over and over. And then they sent me to doctors. "You got long COVID. You got long COVID." So when we were standing here saying the prayers, when I got to the part where "greater is he that is in me than he is in the world," I started coughing. I kept trying to say it. I kept coughing and coughing. I'm like, I'm healed. I can actually breathe. It was like I could feel something like come out of me, right? You know?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Wow, this is cool.
God loves you and knows what you're going through. In the teaching series, Faith to be Made Whole, Kenneth Copeland unpacks the promises of God to you, a born-again believer. He walks you through the healing ministry of Jesus to understand the perfect will of God for your life. Learn how to cast the care of the situation, the pain, and the worry onto your Savior. Run to your Heavenly Father and understand how to be fully persuaded in your faith to be made completely whole. Receive your healing by building up your faith through the Word. God's perfect love for you casts out all fear. Believe the love He has for you and give Him your situation, addiction, and sickness in exchange for His healing, peace, and freedom. Find out God's direction for your life and see His unconditional love for you. Build your faith to be whole, starting by feeding your spirit on the Word. Get ready to be made whole. Become fully persuaded that living by faith is the life for you. request your free copy of Faith to be Made Whole, the teaching series by Kenneth Copeland. Discover the keys to receiving from God by faith to live a healed and whole life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
This is Sherry from the St. Louis area, and she had some issues that she wants to share what the Lord did in the service today.
Okay.
Right. Hi. At night when I'd go to sleep, about 3 hours later, I'd wake up with a sore throat, and I'd get up and I'd try to take care of it and come back to bed, and I maybe wouldn't go back to sleep for 2 hours because the throat just kept hurting and hurting. And I also couldn't shout loud or sing loud or anything like that. And today when you said shout loud, you know, really put some force behind it, it was so hard to do. I just want to keep coughing and coughing, and the more I pressed through, the easier it got, and by the time we were finished, it wasn't bothering me at all. And then you said sinuses are healed. I've had that issue too since I was in my 20s, and it's all healed.
Praise God.
It's just all healed.
Oh, hallelujah. That's so wonderful.
Can I give a second testimony, please? Last year, I received my healing from cancer.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. As a born-again child of God, healing belongs to you. The blessings of the Lord include eternal life, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. Today, we heard two testimonies from people who were healed of life-threatening diseases. Nothing is too big for Jesus to heal. He can and He will heal you. Remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me pray for you. Father, you are the light and the life of all creation. Your hands are open wide and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. We choose that life today, the life and blessings that come from you. We plead the blood of the Lamb and call this life up from our bellies as rivers of living water, healing our bodies and everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.